It's Jennifer Huddleston. Kellyanne, I am an alcoholic. You can hear me. Okay, good. I've been kept sober since December 5th of 92, and that's my miracle. Zoom is my home group for now. We're figuring things out. And it's an honor and a privilege to start my day with you people. This is awesome. Really cool. I've already had a lot of fun. I love rooms of alcoholics. Everybody's talking, nobody's listening. It's fantastic. I love it. And you guys bring a special energy, and that's been a lot of fun already. So I hope I don't, kill the buzz. Anyway, I always like to kind of keep what I share, especially when I get to pick a topic, current. When I got sober, I went to a group of almost all men. I don't know what that's all about. Well, yeah, I do. I was looking for one of them. I did not catch one, but I was looking for one of them. And I noticed that at the group I was at, that people shared what I was like, what happened, and now I don't have to do that anymore. Now, they didn't say, what I missed was they didn't say, I don't do that anymore. They said, now I don't have to do that anymore. And I thought they weren't screwed up anymore. And that I was the only weirdo, who was still a little erratic about paying her electric bill or whatever. I mean, details. I didn't get my poop in a group for a long time in sobriety. I just didn't drink, and eventually some of these things got worked out. But I'm sitting in this meeting feeling like I'm the only one. And y'all, I've been a liar a lot longer than I've been a drunk. I've been a thief since I had pockets. This is how I did life. And I didn't surrender all that stuff all at once. And so I think it's important for me to just kind of share about where I am still today, so that everybody has permission to be wherever the heck they are, and so on Monday nights, I meet with some of the gals I sponsor and then some other people who've started showing up. And we've been going through, I love how God works. We had no idea a pandemic was coming, but we chose to read Emotional Sobriety was our book. And we had just started doing Zoom, having no idea that Zoom would be our only option. Because I started sponsoring some women out of town. And so all this stuff kind of felt really rigged up once, reality unfolded. But as we were going through the essay last night, one of the things that I shared about, which is not news to anybody who knows me, is that I have always believed that every day is supposed to be the weekend and that I am just supposed to do fun things. Fun is my specialty. And so stuff like cleaning the bathroom or paying a bill or, responsible crap really seems like that should be somebody else's deal while I do fun weekends, and obviously we have super yummy food on the weekend. And so my problem is I eat ice cream after breakfast and, so I'm having to grow through some of these old ideas. I now live with my mom, my husband, Big Daddy, and four tortoises, Jay Walker, Serenity, Silkworth, and Dumbletort. He got to name one of them. We moved in with my mom, because we were having some troubles, but also what unfolded was that it was a continuation of some amends. And that I had not been very present as a daughter. And then I got sober and I got busy. I mean, just busy. So I couldn't really be bothered with some things. So at 20 something years sober, I'm moving back home because it's time for me to be present. At the time my dad was dying, he was in a facility and he was dying. And my mother wasn't dealing well, though she didn't know that. I mean, she was hoarding. And so there was some stuff going on. And And so we've lived here, and the cool thing is, when you're doing God's will, I moved in, and it was traumatic getting here, but being here has been awesome. I highly recommend a 70-something-year-old roommate. It all works out fantastic, and we all got healthier when we moved in together. But she's aging, and so I'm going to read something from the book, and then I'm going to tell you what happened on Saturday. Page 79. Although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding. Reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience, we ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything. So on Saturday morning, we wake up and my mom is very disoriented. Like, she doesn't know what day it is. She's not sure what she's supposed to do. She's mixing up names, and we're trying to talk to her, and she's out of it. And I don't really know what's happened. And it scared me, obviously. I had noticed recently that she had kind of been misplacing some words, or that stories were no longer anywhere close to linear. But on Saturday, Elvis had left the building a little bit. And the scary thing was that she was supposed to pick up my niece and take her to work and drive. None of that was a good idea, and you've already heard, I don't want to do hard things. This is not my department, and I'm married to somebody who wants to do that even less. Like, he must be liked. It's in the Ten Commandments, and so he's not going to step up and do this. And I'm scared, and I when I panic, which hopefully I'm not the only one here, when I get scared, I go into full control mode, you know, and I'm like, the keys are going to be buried in the backyard, and that will never be seen again, and then we just won't have to have this conversation. And I, you know, my husband and I are in the backyard, and his eyes are this big and my eyes are this big, and we don't know what to do. And suddenly the thought, call your sponsor, crosses my mind, because I'm only 28, you know. And I call my sponsor, and coincidentally, she's going through this with one of her family members. And so we have a conversation. She tells me what to do. Here's the weird thing. I still have to call my sponsor to have her tell me, you've got to tell the truth. And so we sit down, and I tell my mom, you're not coherent right now, and you can't drive a car. And here's how we're going to work this out. I had to check to see if she had a stroke. I watched her do her blood sugar to see if that might be it. And we still don't know why. My mother has non-alcoholic cirrhosis. And so one of the symptoms of that is that she will lose some cognitive function. She is back. She's bounced back. She's fine right now. But we are having to have conversations about when the keys get surrendered and what that looks like. And I get to play Gollum every morning. And, you know, here's the riddle. What day is it? And what do we do on Tuesdays? And where is that? And, you know, but we just agreed to, this is what this is going to look like. And it's because I love you. And it's because I want everybody to be safe that I'm willing to be the bad guy. And the cool thing is that my mother's gone through this with her parents and my dad. And so she's not going to fight me much, but there will be days. And what I have to remember is that doing this grown-up stuff is another part of learning to trust God. It's suiting up and showing up for all of life, not just the fun parts. Not just the weekends and desserts. It's showing up and being present and living out loud with the ladies I sponsor. because I remember watching my sponsor walk through this with her mom, so that I was prepared when we walked through it with my dad. And so I share where I am, and I share that it's difficult, but I also do it. And I am so thankful that I have been given a way of life that truly works, a set of tools that work with every situation, that I have a sponsor, that I have steps, that I have principles that I live by, that I have a way out, because this is the kind of stuff that sent me not just drinking, but disappearing, just running. And I don't have to be drunk to run. But today I get to suit up and show up. And I say get to very deliberately. I get to suit up and show up. It doesn't feel like get to all the time. But I will say that a weird thing happened when I started doing responsible grown-up things. I could look myself in the mirror. I felt a little bit different about myself. I didn't feel like a loser. I didn't talk to myself in the way that I used to. A long time ago, I heard a speaker say that the secret to self-esteem is doing esteemable things. And I ran around AA for a long time saying, I've found the secret. I've found the secret. And I would share it at every freaking meeting. And finally, to shut me up, my sponsor said, what are esteemable acts? I didn't know. I really didn't know. I was like, well, I mean, I've got half of it. Now I've just got to figure out what an esteemable act is. Well, it's suiting up and showing up. It's having integrity. It's being honest. It's not taking things that don't belong to me. It's doing the hard things and not having to be good at it to do it. You know, one of the things I wrote recently in my journal was, feeling like I'm not capable and not being capable are two different things. I'm capable today, but it's all your fault. I'm glad to be here, and it's a good day to be sober.